Now, in the time of Jesus, it was the custom of servants to wash the feet of the guests. And this was a necessity due to exceedingly dusty dirt desert roads, and a luxury given how precious water was. According to the Gospel of John, Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. He got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel at his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that he had tied around him. And Peter, you remember, objected to this, and saying, oh, because it was a servant's job, why was the teacher, the rabbi, doing this? But Jesus assured him that he would understand later, and that having his feet washed by Jesus was a way that Peter could share in the ministry of Jesus. And Peter responded, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus then encouraged his disciples to serve one another. On Maundy Thursday tonight, we remember when Jesus offered this humblest gesture of welcome to his friends. It wasn't the host's role to wash the feet of the dinner guests. This was the work of servants. In our day, our feet are usually enclosed in socks and shoes, so they don't get terribly dusty. We do, however, care about the cleanliness of our hands. And though we don't usually wash one another's hands, we do want to make our guests comfortable and to feel welcome. When Jesus washed the disciples' feet, they were no longer observers, but participants. And we too are the followers of Jesus, and we welcome and serve one another. And so, at your table is a metal pitcher of water. There is a metal bowl, and there's a basket with clean towels and an empty basket. So what I'd like, it's going to take a couple of people to do this from each table. Go to each person. One person, Jan, stand up and demonstrate.
Talking through this.
So you're going to hold the bowl under Peg's hands.
Oh, okay.
Put your hands up there. And you're going to pour a little water over her hands.
That's enough.
And then she's going to take a towel. And then you dry your hands and put your towel in the empty basket.
All right.
Okay.
That's easy.
Yeah, that's easy. So, at each table, I invite you to do this. We serve one another. It's also the idea of washing and cleanliness, and that this is part of what Jesus calls us to be and do in the world, to share with our friends, to share with our neighbors, this opportunity to be served. So we'll just take a minute. So let's join in our prayer of confession, another part of washing. God of mercy and love, when Judas went out that door, a part of each one of us went with him.
We all owe disloyalty to Jesus in one way or another.
And when the disciples sat unmoving at the table, each waiting for the other to wash their feet, a part of each one of us sat there with them.
We all sat unmoving, waiting for someone else to do what we know we should be doing ourselves.
And when Peter did not want Jesus to wash his feet, a part of each one of us joined him in that embarrassment and rejection.
We all resisted the new hierarchy of Jesus, where those who are greatest become loving servants to all.
Forgive us for our immobility, for our fear.
Help us to again return to following Jesus, who would lead us to hope, forgiveness, and eternal life. Amen.
The mercy of God is from everlasting to everlasting, and so in Christ we are forgiven. May we all be strengthened and encouraged and empowered by God's grace to follow our Lord. And now let's turn to our the disciples' story. And we'll begin with James.
I remember the first time I heard him speak. I had gone to hear him with my brother John. There was something so compelling about this man. His words pierced my heart, and yet at the same time drew me in. Then one day, he came to the lake shore and asked us to follow him. My father Zebedee was not very happy about our decision to follow this wilderness preacher, as he called him. But follow we did, over hills, through valleys, into cities and towns. The things we witnessed, we saw healing, hope restored, lessons taught. The lives of people were changed. It was exciting. Tonight, in this holy city, Jerusalem, we have gathered to share a meal together. I'm not sure what tomorrow will bring, but I am so happy to be here with my friends and my teacher.
I am called Thomas. Some know me only as Doubting Thomas because I demand proof before I believe. But I am not a man of doubt. I am a man of daring. When Jesus' life was in danger at Bethany, where he visited Mary and Martha after Lazarus died, I am the one who said to the other disciples, "Let us go also go, that we may die with him." I have great faith in Jesus, and I know that he brings people to God. His enemies try to cut God down to their own size, but I know God's love and mercy are greatest.
I am Philip. I am the very first disciple chosen by Jesus. He called me when I was listening to John the Baptist in Bethany. It really surprised me to be chosen because I am not known among my family and friends as a person who speaks up very much. I do, though, speak up when I have an important question. I also introduced Bartholomew to Jesus. My faith in God has become so strong since I have known him. I can say absolutely without question that I find everything in Jesus that I find in God.
When they had taken their places and were eating, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." And they began to be distressed and to say to him and to one another, "Surely not I."
"It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the bowl with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him. But woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born."
"I am Andrew, known to many as a friendly fisherman. What a great day it was when such an ordinary and not particularly gifted man as myself was chosen to be one of Jesus' disciples. I ran to my brother, Simon Peter, and told him that we had found the Messiah. Jesus asked my brother to follow him also. I brought the Greeks to Jesus, and I brought that boy with the 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish to Jesus when he fed the crowd of 5,000. And now Jesus has told us one of us is to betray him? How could that possibly be? Surely not me."
"I'm the one that they call Peter. That's the name Jesus gave me. The rock, it means. Sort of ironic for a man who has spent his life on the water. But that's me, a fisherman. Jesus called me to become someone who fishes for people. And I left my nets, my boats, and my family and followed him. I never thought I'd be here, in this place, with this man. He is God's son. There's no doubt about that. And now we have gathered for a meal and to enjoy each other's company. I don't know what lies ahead, but I am sure that something incredible is going to happen. Though this betrayal business is not something I understand, what could it be about?"
"My name is John. And I have to say, there is an uneasiness in my soul tonight. Something is wrong, at least that's how I feel. Things have been rather hectic, and this Passover time should be a wonderful time to share a meal, but I can't help the way I feel. I just don't want this journey to end. I know there are wondrous things yet to happen, but somehow this sense of foreboding is sneaking into my spirit. Jesus' talk of betrayal is not helping. Surely he doesn't mean me.
Well, it has been a nice meal. Though I can tell you that it cost us a pretty penny to gather all the supplies. I'm required to keep the treasury to make sure that all the needs of these people are taken care of and that we have funds to do the work, to do our work helping people. Even Jesus talks about the kingdom of God being at hand, and he has done some miraculous things. But when is he truly coming? Am I the only one who really desires God's intervention right now? We have been in the temple every day. He preaches and proclaims God's presence. But we need to have action right here and now. I don't know why he's stalling. But maybe it's my turn to do something to get this thing rolling.
I am Matthew, and you probably know me as the ex-tax collector. My life is proof that Christ can turn a hated man into a blessed gift of God. Because my life has changed completely since I met Jesus. Can you imagine that it was like what it was like to have the Christ walk into my place of business when I was collecting taxes and say, "Follow me"? I was shocked, and so was everyone else that I knew. I served Jesus in my home, even though the Pharisees complained about him eating with publicans and sinners. Jesus said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, for those who are sick. For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. I have listened to and loved this man since I was chosen to be one of his beloved followers. I can scarcely believe that one of us is wicked enough to betray this good man. Who could it be?"
"My name is Thaddeus. I'm the son of James. I've always been a curious, questioning person. I asked Jesus why he had revealed himself to us 12 first. And he said that he only showed himself to living and obedient hearts. He told us that we have authority over unclean spirits and power to heal every kind of disease and infirmity. He told us to preach his good news and to be as wise as serpents and as innocent as doves. We learned to trust him completely. So who is it among us tonight? Who is no longer wise nor innocent? I hate to even think it. I wonder, is it me?"
"My name is James, the Lesser, but I am also called James, son of Alphaeus. I am called Lesser because I am smaller in size than the other man named James. I first saw Jesus when I witnessed his baptism by John the Baptist at the Jordan River. It wasn't until a year later that Jesus chose me to be one of his disciples. I had been against the way we were being treated by the Romans, but I have always believed in fighting peacefully, if you know what I mean. Jesus taught me to work together with people. I don't necessarily agree with this completely. And now, one of us here is a traitor. I just can't picture it. And I worry that somehow it could be me, even though I can't imagine how.
I am Bartholomew. Some call me Nathaniel. I was a fisherman and a disciple of John the Baptist when Philip told me about Jesus and asked me to follow him. When Jesus saw me, he said, 'Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile.' It was as if he could look straight into my heart. I answered, 'You are the King of Israel. I know this to be true. I have witnessed many kindnesses and miracles made possible by Jesus. We prepared a special meal tonight that will have special significance for believers, and now we hear of betrayer in our midst. Could it be me? I surely hope not."
"They call me Simon the Zealot. I was a member of the Zealots when Jesus chose me to follow. I have been part of a group of fanatical Jewish patriots who advocated revolutionary tactics to overthrow the Romans. I learned from Jesus that greater things can be accomplished through love. After surrendering myself to God, I learned not to be afraid of Rome. I learned that it is God who is almighty and everlasting love. Who is it among us who doubts this so completely that he believes in power more than love? Could I be a suspect?
But Judas was disturbed by these things. As he reached to dip a piece of bread in the bowl, Jesus spoke to him.
Do quickly what you must do, Judas.
Invites all of you to come to his table, to feel his love, to know his grace. Let us pray. Almighty God, on that last night with his disciples, our Lord sat with them, teaching them, loving them, caring for them. He offered himself to them. He offers himself to us. And we pray, O Lord, that as we gather around these tables and prepare to eat this bread and drink this cup, that we might be infused with the Spirit of Christ to become the true servants that he would have us to become. Over the centuries, Lord, we thought we knew better. And we kept going away from you with our decisions, our wars. And yet you never gave up on us. You kept drawing us back, calling us with the voices of men and women to stand with you, to be loved by you, to share your love. As we eat this bread and drink this cup, Lord, we pray that our hearts may once again be filled with your Spirit, that we might feel your love like a passion burning within us. We pray, O Lord, that we might be strengthened and nourished to truly be your disciples. Amen. On the night he was betrayed, our Lord took a loaf of bread. He offered it up to God and gave thanks to God for it. And then he broke it. And he said, "Take, eat, all of you. This is my body, broken for you. Whenever you eat this, eat it, remember me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for the sins of the world. Whenever you drink it, remembering me." And every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we are reminded of the promise that Christ will come again.
Would you join with me in the unison prayer printed in the bulletin?
Patient God, we have received the elements of bread and wine. We have come to the table imperfect, flawed. Yet you in Christ receive us and offer to us healing and hope. Forgive our waywardness, heal our brokenness, challenge us to live lives of faithfulness and discipleship. Amen.
And after the supper, they went to a place called Gethsemane. This is from the Gospel of Mark. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took with him Peter and James and John, and he began to be distressed and agitated. And he said to them, "I'm deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and keep awake." And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me. Yet, not what I want, but what you want." And he came and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep awake 1 hour? Keep awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And once again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to say to him. And he came a third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Enough! The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." And immediately while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. And with him there was a crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard." And so when he came, he went up to him at once and said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. And then they laid hands on him and arrested him. But one of those who stood near drew his sword and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to them, Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a bandit? Day after day I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not arrest me. But let the scriptures be fulfilled." And all of them deserted him and fled. A certain young man was following him, wearing nothing but a linen cloth. They caught hold of him, and he left the linen cloth and ran off naked. Well, they took Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes were assembled. And Peter had followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. And he was sitting with the guards, warming himself at the fire. Now the chief priests and the whole council were looking for testimony against Jesus to put him to death. But they found none. For many gave false testimony against him, and their testimony did not agree. Some stood up and gave false testimony against him, saying, "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple that's made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another, not made with hands.'" But even on this point, their testimony did not agree. Then the high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus, "Have you no answer? What is it that they testify against you?" But he was silent and did not answer. Again, the high priest asked him, "Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?" And Jesus said, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven." And then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "Why do we still need witnesses? You've heard his blasphemy. What's your decision?" And all of them condemned him as deserving death. And some began to spit on him, to blindfold him, and to strike him, saying to him, "Prophesy." And the guards also took him over and beat him. When Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she stared at him and said, "You also were with Jesus, the man from Nazareth." But he denied it, saying, "I do not know or understand what you're talking about." And he went out into the forecourt, and then the cock crowed. And the servant girl, on seeing him, began again to say to the bystanders, "This man is one of them." But again he denied it. Then after a little while, the bystanders again said to Peter, "Certainly you are one of them, for you're a Galilean." But he began to curse, and he swore an oath, "I do not know this man you're talking about." And at that moment, the cock crowed for the second time. And then Peter remembered that Jesus had said to him, "Before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times." And Peter broke down and wept.